This episode is brought to you by
BBC.
Alex.
Matthew.
Do you have things that you'd like to keep forever?
Yeah.
But would you like them to be indiscriminately destroyed? If the answer is yes.
Okay, let's say it's yes. I'm assuming the sponsors want me to say yes.
Our sponsor for this week is the BBC Archives Department.
Oh, wonderful.
They specialise in destroying historic, well-documented TV shows from the 60s and 70s, specifically a sci-fi and science fiction one.
Uh-huh.
Over the years, they've just destroyed everything. So now they're operating that as a business. So if you are the kind of person who hoards lots of, like, random stuff
yes.
that could be valuable, but you're like, ah, to hell with it, I'd just like it all burned, the BBC Archive Department is for you.
Wow, quality stuff.
Now, some of the stuff they will send to random people in other countries so that eventually, if you want that thing back, you could go find it and then restore it.
Oh, it's a treasure hunt.
Yeah. It's a two-part thing. You get your stuff destroyed and then you can go back and look for it.
Cool.
And so if you use the offer code Let's Destroy Everything Fans at the BBC iPlayer website,
yes,
you get a free box full of junk.
I have heard about an extra bonus if you purchase within the next 30 days. If you upload your favourite memories onto YouTube, they'll copyright claim them, so you can't use them.
Yeah, actually, to add on to that, they'll just take the visual. So
yes.
You still have the sound.
That's right. But you'll never remember what your family members used to look like. Thanks, BBC.
There's a note from the sponsor.
Oh.
I just want you to tone down the anger a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
Are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Hanselli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
I almost forgot which one I was.
I know.
It's been that long.
It's been a little. It hasn't been as long as last time.
We probably won't do one of our segments. I'll briefly skim over it because I've got a big recap to do.
Yes.
So,
is it Doctor Who?
Who?
Exactly.
This mug. Can't look at the bottom of it.
On the inside?
On the underneath.
Can I look on the inside? Is
yeah.
it just blue?
Yeah, it's just blue.
So it's a mug. It's a black mug. It's blue on the inside and it has like a swirly sort of pattern with lines on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Can I look around the whole mug?
You can pick up the mug. Just don't look at the bottom of it.
There's something that looks like, is that an eye or a tie?
Well, it looks like it could be an eye wearing a tie.
I'm going to say, based on the colours and the weird shapes, that it is Doctor Who.
I gotcha!
Oh.
This is
Pokemon?
From The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay.
If you heat up the mug, then that lights up blue.
And what is that?
It's the symbol on the Sheikah Slate, which you use to open up all the temples in Breath of the Wild.
You got me.
Nice work, everyone. And by
see,
everyone,
got,
I mean me.
It does have the colours of the TARDIS. That's
yeah,
why
I thought the blue might throw you off.
It did, so well done.
Thank you. So, before we get on to the actual episode we watched, so just to recap.
Yes.
We, last episode, were trying to decide whether we should listen to all the audio of these episodes, or do we go on to the next visual episode.
As we said, our sponsor, BBC, has lost 12 or whatever
episodes. We've missed 20 episodes.
Oh, my
God. We skipped 20 episodes.
Really?
Yeah, so
season 3, episode 15. So the last thing was what? Season 3, episode 4.
Yes.
Oh, but that was animated.
Yes.
So,
was,
yeah.
We didn't actually see season, like, 3 yet.
So the first thing we've seen of live action in Season 3 is Episode 15.
Which you might have been confused by, because stuff just seemed to have happened.
Oh, yeah. We're missing a whole companion, and we have a whole brand new annoying
in
one.
Fact, you're missing more than just one companion.
Man!
So in the space of 20 episodes, some people can come and go.
That's fair.
So we missed the Mythmakers, the Daleks' Master Plan, and the massacre.
Okay.
So, I thought instead of doing my regular segment of, like, Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to do Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of lost episodes.
Yes.
Okay?
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of the BBC's huge dramatic failure.
Alright, listen. They do okay now. And who knows, eventually they might actually listen to this.
That's true. Don't be worried. We're going to talk about the people working on this at the time who are now
in the
dead.
60s. I've made some notes.
Okay.
For each episode. So this is for each story. I've put a little bit of trivia sprinkled throughout.
Good.
Okay, so first of all, we have the Mythmakers, which I've also put how many episodes have survived for each storyline. So I thought a fun game. Out of the four episodes for the Mythmakers, how many do you think survived?
Well, I'm going to say zero.
Zero is correct.
Zero out of four.
Now, there is audio.
Strike one, BBC.
But as we discussed earlier, the audio, just watching those weird animations with the audio, that guy's done a great job. Well done, Doctor Who animator. This one features the First Doctor, obviously.
Yes.
Vicky, Stephen, and they travel to Troy in the 1200s.
Oh.
So
another Earth-based story that we miss.
And there's two sides again.
Oh,
so Troy, 1200s, there's the Trojans.
Yeah.
Troy.
The Trojans.
Trojans. And the Greeks who are invading. So immediately Stephen and Vicky are taken prisoner, as what obviously normally happens. And Vicky is believed by the Trojans to have some supernatural powers because of the way she's dressed and she talks like she's from the future. They're like, oh, maybe she's a prophet.
So are they saying that Stephen
is an idiot?
Because he still speaks like people from the 1200s.
Well, I think he just gets himself into trouble. He does beat a Trojan warrior during this. So well done.
Well done. Ian would be proud.
Ian would be proud if they knew each other at all. Did they meet? They meet briefly. That's right. They meet him in the city.
Yes, I did remember that. And they had to escape off the roof. And she was scared for her life, so they blindfolded her and made her go off the roof anyway.
Okay, at some point, Vicky, she gets a little bit stuck, so they are interrogating her, and she can't really see a way out of her interrogation. So she reveals to the Trojans that she's a time traveler. So she's like, I'm from the future. And they're like, that's not real. So they think she's a prophet who can tell the future.
Oh, okay.
So meanwhile, the Doctor is captured by the Greeks. So they are threatening him. So they say, you're going to help us beat this war with the Trojans. Meanwhile, the Trojans are saying to Vicky, you're going to help us beat this war with the Greeks. Vicky realizes that the Doctor's in charge of the other group. And the Doctor realizes that Vicky's in charge of this group. And they're kind of like facing off. So they both be like, this sucks. The Doctor reluctantly helps the Greeks by designing their Trojan horse.
Oh, okay.
That's well done. Then history happens. And Troy is ransacked.
Yep.
During her, like, being captured by the Trojans, Vicky has fallen in love with the king's son.
Oh.
And so she decides to stay there.
So she literally left the next storyline that we missed.
Yes.
So she stays around in the 1200s.
Yeah.
He must be one good-looking fella.
So that video, did I show you that video of where that had, like, Maureen O'Brien reprising her role, like, this year? She reprises her role. She still lives in, you know, 1200s.
Oh, wow.
Troy, and has had, like, children and all that.
So the Doctor goes back, and is he like, I remember you?
The Doctor does not go back.
Oh.
Okay, so moving on.
Oh, so you can't tell me.
Stephen is unwell. So he had a fight with a Trojan warrior, which I put in here, but there's no real, like, I don't have any big story points for Stephen. He just kind of was there.
Yeah.
But he becomes unwell. So Terry Nation asked if the writers of this story could put that into here because he wanted Stephen to be unwell at the start of the next story.
So we miss a Terry Nation story.
No, this isn't the next. Yeah, we do miss a Terry Nation story.
BBC.
So some trivia about this episode.
Tell me.
So at the end of the episode, Stephen and the Doctor get inside the TARDIS, but the Doctor also takes Katarina of Troy. So someone who lives in Troy, he takes them with him.
Okay. So we missed a whole companion.
Yeah, no, we missed two. So Maureen O'Brien, so here's some trivia.
Yeah.
She wasn't aware that she was leaving.
Oh.
So it was just in the script. So she didn't want to leave the show.
Yeah.
She was just written out of the show.
So it's not a Susan situation.
No. She was like, this is good. And then, so apparently William Hartnell and... Peter P- Herbs, the guy that plays Steven, they were very upset because they were like, you just wrote her out of the show and she doesn't actually want to leave the show. So,
Kind of like what the Doctor does to Susan on the show. Just kind of leaves her behind.
Mm. William Hartnell had a really terrible time filming this. His aunt died during the filming.
Oh.
So he was very non-communicative with some of the, like, director and all of that. He just kind of did what he was supposed to do. But apparently his aunt cared for him when he was younger. He had, like, had a very difficult childhood. So he was quite close to his aunt.
Right.
And he also started to come well with, I want to say it's arteriosclerosis. It's like your arteries, like, start to get, like, glowed, like, filled with, like, fat and that.
Oh.
So it stops blood flow getting around your body, and it can affect things like memory. So he was struggling to remember his lines and say his lines. So this is kind of where he starts to feel a bit unwell.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't know, really, when you watch the arc.
No.
He's pretty not at all. On it.
And so, because his character has kind of been that way for a while.
Yeah. Okay, so the Daleks' Master Plan is the next one.
Okay.
How many episodes? Now, there's 12 episodes in total. How many survived?
3.
4.
Oh.
So, 2 initially.
Yeah.
And then they recovered another 2.
Wow, well done, BBC.
And in the middle of this, episode 7 is supposed to be a sillier episode because it's they're like Christmas special.
Oh.
So it's called The Feast of Stephen.
So we missed the first Christmas special.
Yeah. So this is very similar to The Chase. So there's lots of different locations. Remember how they just kind of jump from place to place to place?
Yep.
In fact, a lot of the leftover story ideas that Terry Nation had from that, he put into this.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place not long after the one that we watched that the university people made.
Oh, Mission to the Unknown.
Mission to the Unknown. So it's that group. So it follows...
Oh, that's right. The bad guys. The evil collective.
Yeah, so it follows... what are they called?
The Daleks.
So the Doctor, his companions, and the Space Security Service.
Oh, yes.
So the James Bond people. So apparently it's a bit of a mess. So the guy that plays Stephen, Peter, because I can't say his last name apparently.
Mr. Perv.
He said the big 12-parter was Tosh.
Oh.
So the Daleks are at war with the Space Security Service. And then I remembered that this does get continued in those audio plays.
Oh,
so the 10th Doctor takes over. The 4th Doctor and the 10th Doctor... There's a BBC, there's a Big Finish audio play called Dalek Universe, and that basically continues this story. Daleks are trying to take over the solar system in the year 4000, initially. During the story, new companions Katarina, so from Troy, and Sarah, they join the team. Sarah Kingdom is a member of the Space Security Service.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, you know, James Bond. Jane Bond,
if you will.
So apparently it's quite a relentless story too. So it's a war. So every time they land somewhere, it's like the Daleks are trying to kill a bunch of humans.
Right.
And so during the story, Katarina is killed. She's killed quite early on.
Oh.
So Stephen is a bit like, we've just taken this person from Troy and then she's being killed. Like, we've done that. And then Sarah... She's killed during the duration of the story. So she does travel with the Doctor and then is killed fighting the Daleks. Now, her death, from reading it, she's aged to death. So it's quite...
Wow.
It's quite terrifying. So at the end of the 12th episode, they try and work out how to defeat the Daleks. And the Daleks have this device that can, like, accelerate time in an area.
Mm-hmm.
So the Doctor and Sarah are trying to get to the TARDIS, and the Doctor's already old because he's like hundreds of years old, but it kind of weakens him, and she just keeps getting older, and then she dies of old age. And they get in the TARDIS, and then somehow that machine wipes out the Daleks. The Doctor does something clever.
Oh, okay.
And then the Doctor and Stephen are just like, they're just like, ugh. Like, they've been through an adventure, so they're just like, this is the worst.
So these are the first two deaths of any companions.
Yeah, so Katarina is the first death of a companion.
Yeah.
And then Sarah is the second.
And we miss both.
Yeah. So the next one is a bit more of a Dr. Light story. It's called The Massacre. So there's four episodes in it. How many?
Zero.
Zero. And not only that, difficult to find any trace that they existed, apart from, like, the script. And audio, I think there's some audio, but there's no pictures. Like, there's nothing
to kind of
give anyone who might want to do an animation perspective for what's happening.
Yeah.
So they land in... The Doctor and Stephen land in Paris in 1572.
Another Earth one.
Yep. The story follows Stephen mainly. So William Hartnell plays two characters. He plays the Doctor, obviously. But he also plays an abbot in a church who Stephen thinks is the Doctor undercover. Because in this moment in history, there's a big, like, Catholics versus Protestants thing going on.
Right.
So there's the Catholic Queen Mother, Catherine de Medici. So she's the Catholic Queen. And so the reason why it's called The Massacre is in this period of time, she orders the slaughter of 10,000, I want to say Huguenots, but they're Protestants. They're just like a sect of Protestants.
Okay.
The Doctor has gone to, like, do some sightseeing, you know, Paris, the Doctor. Exactly like that.
Sad story.
Think of a montage of him walking around Paris.
Yeah.
There you go. So Stephen rescues and befriends a servant girl. So she's been chased by Catholics and she works for Protestants. So he helps her. The Doctor, this abbot is killed. And so Stephen is distraught because he thinks the Doctor's dead. But he finds the Doctor again. And they have a big, like, back and forth about... Because the Doctor tells him, like, in this period of time, all these people that you've just met that you're friends with now, they're going to get killed.
Right.
And Stephen's like, well, we can't let that happen. The Doctor's like, well, sometimes I help people, but at this point, I can't help this. Because this is, like, this is history.
Yeah.
So this is supposed to happen.
It's not like an individual person. It would be, like, changing the course of time.
Yes. So... this servant girl that Stephen has befriended is called Anne Chaplet. He's like, well, can't we just save, like, someone? And the Doctor's like, no, we should just get the TARDIS and go because this is going to be too difficult and we can't change time. So the Stephen says... The Stephen says, next time we land, I'm out of here because this is, like, you're crazy and I don't want to do this anymore.
Fair enough.
He's been through a lot. Like, he's the 12 episodes of the Daleks. And, you know, in the middle of that, he had a really crazy... He had a Christmas special.
Yeah.
And then everyone he knew got killed. So, he's like, I'm out of here. So, they land in the future.
Yeah.
In Paris. And Stephen leaves the TARDIS and is like, I'm out of here. A girl walks into the TARDIS... thinking it's a regular police box.
Right.
So she goes in, but it's Dodo who has gone into the TARDIS.
Right.
Who you have met now because you've watched the arc.
Yeah, I've definitely met her.
So I quite like Dodo, but that's fine. We're going to have a discussion about that, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen sees some police officers running towards the TARDIS. So he goes into the TARDIS. And he's like, I better warn the Doctor. He's like, hey, there's police officers coming this way because they're probably going to think this is a real police box. So with this girl in the TARDIS...
Once again, kidnapping, yeah.
He just takes off. So he takes off and Stephen's like, who's this person? And she's like, I'm Dodo. And she says, Dodo Chaplet.
Oh.
Like Anne Chaplet from Paris.
Right.
So they realise that even though... Anne and that group are supposed to be massacred, she must have survived to have had children.
Right.
So, he's like, oh, I feel okay about leaving all those people to die.
As in, Stephen thinks that.
Yeah. The Doctor doesn't think that.
So he comes back to the TARDIS.
Mm. Like, Doctor, there's some real police officers, and the Doctor just takes off with him and Dodo. And then they land on a ship or in a forest.
Yeah.
So what do you think of all that? Have you missed it?
I feel like we've missed a lot. We missed companions actually dying, consequences to the insanity of the Doctor.
I think you're going to see more die, so you'll be fine.
Oh, good. Just a quick question, and I know this is completely irrelevant, but can you show me what the companions who died looked like?
Yeah.
Because we have yet to have a great love like Barbara, and I'm telling you now, Dodo ain't it, my dude.
That's the other thing I looked into.
Yeah.
I looked into the one that we just lost. Vicky. I just looked at Vicky's age. Because I was like, the Doctor leaves Susan when she's, yes, you know, late teens, maybe?
Late teens.
So it looks like Vicky's age is a bit more vague. So you could think she's in her late teens or like 20 at the latest.
How old is the guy that she falls in love with?
That's a good question.
It doesn't say?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
Well, but it's if it's anything to go by the 60s, an old man. All right, let's 54 go.
54 and balding.
So let me show you Katarina.
How many episodes was she in that we missed?
So she was in those two stories.
Okay.
The Mythmakers and the Dark. So the two, we missed those two.
Right.
The other one, Sarah Kingdom.
Yep. Nah, bro.
I see there, she's punching someone.
I mean, that's cool. So what we're saying is, there's yet to be another like Barbara.
Instead, you get Dodo.
Yay. See, I start this episode, and obviously Vicky's not there. I don't know about any of these other people. But this woman called Dodo is there.
Yeah.
And I find her extremely annoying, especially because she walks out of the ship wearing weird... Like,
even the Doctor's like, where'd you get this clothes from? And she's like, he said, have you been in the wardrobe or something?
Why are you dressed in these stupid clothes? That's a quote. So you like her. I mean, I don't know anything about
her. I think she's got good, I didn't know anything about her either.
Okay, that's fair, that's fair.
But I do like that she's a bit, you know, confident. So she's not, she's not, like, a damsel in distress. In this story.
No, that's true. So, but she does say really dumb things like, hey, look at him then, when someone walks past. Or, hey, look at that then, when there's a thing in the sky.
Well, Dodo aside, I loved this story.
I thought it was a good story. Really good story.
I think it's solid. I liked the change between episodes 2 to 3, when they travel through time.
Yep. I thought that was really good too.
And I liked the planet they landed on had invisible creatures. I thought that was good. I liked being able to see the string of objects moving when on screen.
Especially when they're being thrown through space.
Yes.
I liked the twist about the bomb that we know about, but it's still presented really well at the end.
Yes.
And I thought remember we had the bees, the planet of the bees?
Yeah, we should go back to that.
And how awful the costumes was. I thought this was brilliant, the way that they created these creatures.
These, like, the humanoid, the monoids? So monoids. There's another being in this. So this is actually quite good, because
go on.
It's very similar to a modern-day story.
Oh, right.
Where the Doctor and his companions land on a ship, and there's, like, a forest in the ship, and... They don't land on the ship, but they go on a ship that has a forest in it. Those monoids, like, you believe that they're other beings.
Yes.
You know, they don't look just like... I mean, they are just humans wrapped in cardboard or something, but they look like proper aliens.
But you know the brilliance of it is that they have a thing in their... Okay, the people playing the monoids have a thing in their mouth, and they have their mouth open so it looks like an eyeball.
Yeah.
And they move it around with their tongue. Also, I wanted to say it reminded me very much of the Daleks, and I have a list of similarities. But the point is, the rest of their head is covered in this, like, shaggy hair.
Mm.
So they really did look freaky, like a monster.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
So they arrive. There's already a trial happening on this ship. He looks like he's just in his late teens.
Yes.
But he's done something. And they've sentenced him to 700 years as, like, a... gets shrunken down, like, frozen, I guess.
Yeah.
What you call it. Which is fine, because they're going to land on their planet in 700 years anyway, so... Good for him.
Yeah. You don't know that, though, so you're just like, what?
Yeah. So, at first they shrink him, and that's a good effect on screen.
There's lots of good effects in this story.
So he shrinks and they take him away. But I did like the judge acting in that. Like, that was...
He was good.
Yeah. That actor, the whole way through, I was like, take him with you.
Yeah, fair enough.
A competent...
actor.
Person.
Yeah.
Actor.
Well, that's what you meant, right? Or you meant the character.
The character, but the actor.
I see. I thought it was good acting.
There's an elephant, which looks like it's just a real elephant.
I think they must have worked with a real
elephant. So that surprised me.
That's an upgrade from all the stock footage we've had.
Yeah.
Remember when there was the alligator in the sewer? Susan's climbing up the ladder to escape from it. She's like, oh no, look! And then there's just like safari images and you're like, that's not there. But there was a guy dressed as a monoid touching a real elephant.
Yeah, and the doctor and Steven and Dodo, they all touched the elephant's trunk.
Yep.
And you're like, wow. Like, I don't know how you would do that these days.
Well, it was easier then because there was no regulations.
You'd just be like, get me an elephant.
Yes.
Because it was an Indian elephant.
That's what they said.
So they work out. At first, the doctor, Stephen, and Dodo think they've landed in a jungle. And Dodo seems very confident they've landed in London.
See, this is why I found it annoying.
Because
she's just out there doing stuff, so sure of what's going on. And she's wrong.
She is incorrect.
Yeah.
She's also sneezing the whole time. And sniffling and sneezing and... Yeah. So they work out. There's an Indian elephant. There's animals from all across the globe.
Different continents.
Plants as well. Plants from all over the place.
Yep.
And they look up and the sky is a steel ceiling.
Hence the steel sky
title. Steel sky, which is the title in its first part. Yep. The Earth is dying. We're just going to get engulfed by the sun or something. And so this ship is an ark. So it's taking animals away from it. So I liked all that setup.
Yes.
I thought this just story setup was really good. And like believable because... So what happens next is they get captured.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like... The humans are like... How did you get on board our ship? And so they get taken before the judge, whose name is... They call him the commander in this.
That's right. He is called the commander.
So the commander, he's pretty welcoming. So he's like, well, these people, they don't look like they're armed or anything.
No.
And his right-hand man, Zentus, he's the one that's like, I don't know about these people. Where'd they come from?
Yeah.
And then all around them, there's also the monoids, who are a humanoid species, but they're kind of like treated like slaves.
Yes.
So they do things for the people. Like they seem, the humans don't seem to be that mean to them, but they're also like not treating them amazingly well.
It's almost like the commander is trying to treat them equally, but no one else is. He like asks for their advice in various court cases.
Yeah.
But they're still basically bringing him food to eat like a slave.
Yeah, and it sounds like what's happened is the Earth was dying and that galaxy is like our galaxy, I guess, is going to get wiped out. So the monoids have kind of made a deal to get on the Ark, but in doing so, they serve the humans.
Right.
So that's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that they were talking in sign language. And I was trying to, like, watch and see, like... Because I use Australian Sign Language.
You're studying sign language.
I'm studying sign language. And I can communicate, you know...
Yeah.
...well enough.
I didn't even think about that when I was watching it, that you would have that perspective on it.
Well, I was watching, I was like, do these signs actually mean anything? And I don't think they do. I think they just wave their hands about. And then... Because I was like... One of them was... I think it is Zentos who has some weird thing with his hands and does that. And then the monoid goes away and they're like, oh, what'd you tell him to do? And he's like, I told him to go check out the ship that they left in the forest.
Right.
And I was like, with three signs? No. So I found that very, I was like, cause I was like, ooh, maybe they made a whole language, but I don't think they did.
No, they're not going Lord of the Rings level of creating an entire language.
That's right.
This isn't Terry Nation, by the way. That's why. he would have been like, get me a language writer.
Yeah. Or he would have been like, I'm not going to put that in mine because it's too complicated.
Yeah, that's probably...
Get me two warring races.
To be honest, they didn't really need that. I can't think of a time where the story required them to not be speaking English, because later they are.
I think what that shows when they are later is like an evolution of their status.
That's fair.
So they were slaves who kind of were like these silent beings, and now they're in charge.
And they can speak through like a device that they've created.
Yeah.
We should probably explain. I don't know if you were getting to it. I don't want to get there too quickly. But the whole point is they're traveling to another planet, and much like the shrunken man at the beginning, there's cases and cases of shrunken civilizations and millions of people.
Yeah, of the humans and monoids.
Yeah, ready to be deployed on this new planet. But you then find out that they've traveled, the TARDIS crew have traveled a million years into the future.
Yes, or millions of years, I think is what the doctor says.
And that's why the sun is basically about to explode.
Yeah.
And kill everything. So we are millions of years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they talk about being in the 57th sliver of time or fragment of time. Segment.
Segment. Because you don't have any, like, scale for that. Like, you're not like, where is our segment?
Yeah. So far ahead in the future that they don't know the story of the Ark.
Noah's Ark, yeah.
Which is why Dodo nicknames it the Ark, because of the idea of taking two of everything and...
Yeah. It sounds like they just took a whole heap of animals. Maybe not necessarily two of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Noah's Ark doesn't have two of everything. Some animals are seven of... Anyway, whatever. We don't have to get into that.
The point is, they had no name for it. They start calling it that after she says, this is like the Ark.
Yeah.
And then later, when they're back more in the future, more times, millions more years, you know.
Later, 700 years later.
Oh, that's right. It's only 700 years later. Those people are still calling it the Ark. She had that impact at that small level.
Yeah. And the fact that they had been there has become a myth.
Yes, as well. That's right.
Very
cool idea for a story.
Now, I think the other cool thing that was in this story, the members of the ship start to get ill.
Yes.
And that is because they've been living on this ship for however long, because their trip has taken, you know, a while already.
Yep.
That they don't really have an immune system. Like, they haven't had to come across a virus yet. And they don't have that information how to beat a virus with them for some reason. It's been lost over the years. So the commander starts to get ill. Some of the monoids get ill or die.
Yep.
And Dodo's obviously feels quite bad because she has...
A cold. She was sneezing and everything when they first walked out. And so she's realized she's probably the one that's made them sick.
Yeah.
However, I have just thought of something that makes no sense. But I'll wait till we get to that part of the story and then I'll remind you.
Okay. Dorothea, Stephen, and Doctor, they're locked inside a prison cell.
Yes, because all of a sudden, the old fella, the commander, is taken off to be in his own room or like a sick bay type of thing.
Yeah. So Baku, they're going to have a trial for the doctor. And so Baku's going to be the prosecutor. And the commander's daughter, Melium.
Yes, Melium.
She's going to be, like, the defendant's, like, the doctor's lawyer, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because she empathizes with the humans, and she's kind of, like the commander, she believes their story and that they're not... Because Xentos's theory is that these humans have traveled from the planet they're going to...
Yeah.
...to bring this virus purposefully to kill them off.
But that, what would be the point of that?
Well, see, okay, plot hole one. I don't know. Why would they want to do that?
If you're an advanced species that can send someone seemingly inside another spaceship...
Posing as a human.
Couldn't you just blow up the spaceship with the other technology that you have?
Yeah, why not send a bomb?
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. And so the Doctor, Stephen, and Dodo, they have this conversation while they're in the prison cell, and Stephen... Quite rightly, he's talking to the doctor about the repercussions of his time traveling. He's like, don't you think about these things before you just land somewhere? And the doctor's like, I don't really, that's not what I do. I just kind of do what I want.
And I'm not really in charge of where we're going.
Yeah, well, the ship is. And Stephen even alludes to that a few times. He's like, we kind of just go wherever the ship takes us.
Yeah.
So, because Dodo's like, you may as well, you can take me home because I'm ruining this planet. And the doctor's like, I can't take you home.
So she must be a very, very new companion because she doesn't got the point yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's realized she's traveled through time.
Yep.
But she doesn't realize that she can't go back now until this point.
So she's literally kidnapped. It's over.
Yeah.
She can't.
Your life's over.
Well, it almost is in this. Well,
I don't know story. Why the doctor didn't just take the Daleks' time machine that time that Ian and Barbara had that. It seems a lot easier to navigate. Anyway, maybe one day he'll get more in control of his ship.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
For a while, anyway.
For about 40 years in the future.
50.
Oh, by the way, something that they'd stopped doing, but they seem to have done again.
Yeah.
We're now in episode 2, right? Where they're taken off as prisoner.
Yep, the plague. Yep.
They reshot that ending. You know how way back in season 1...
With the, with Sensorites.
For example, yes.
Yeah.
An episode would end with a 30-second scene. Next episode starts with the same 30-second scene, but it's slightly different. So they've obviously reshot it.
Yeah.
They stopped doing that in season 2.
Yeah.
They do it here because the direction that they're taken as prisoners changes from going towards the screen over to the left.
Huh.
It's totally different. It's reshot, and the way the guy says his lines about take them away...
Is different. It's another take.
It's a different take.
Can I just say...
Why do they
I feel like
that?
The camera work, though, in this is much better.
Agreed.
And it seems like the acting on a whole is much better.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that, too.
And, I especially loved every time they did an exterior shot of like the ship in space, or like there's a moment where they send a coffin out into space.
Yeah.
Like all those shots of the exterior. I know it's just like a small model and then they've had the camera locked in there.
But it doesn't look bad.
No, it looks good.
Like it was.
I'm like, this is the 60s?
Mm.
Well done, everyone.
Oh, yeah. You know the other special effect that I thought was great?
Yeah.
Is when, in the future, when the humans are the slaves, and they're making bowl of chicken...
Yeah.
...by dropping a tablet into water, and then there's a wavy effect, and all of a sudden there's chicken in the bowl.
But they did that twice, and I feel like the second time was just to be like... Hey, remember this? Because the first time it happens, there's a bowl of water and they put a tablet in and it becomes potatoes.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's a nifty idea.
That's what I thought. I like the chicken one too.
And then the second time they put a tablet in and it becomes like cooked chicken. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool though.
But I feel like the second time was just to be like, remember that special effect? Check this out.
Whoa. I'm telling you, back then, because I thought it was cool. So imagine 60 years ago. Before, yes. You know, The Matrix and weird special effect movies.
Before modern day Doctor Who?
Well, I haven't seen any of it, so I don't know if it's any good.
It is very good.
I can't take your word on that. We'll have to wait till we get there.
To Doctor 13.
I've seen exactly
one. To Doctor 9.
I've seen two Doctors. I've seen a movie version and a real version.
We'll get to the 9th Doctor. He's the modern, start of the modern era. Do you just want to skip to that one?
Not even a little bit. I need to see how bad this second Doctor is.
He's fine.
He has a flute.
He has a recorder. He doesn't stick around for that long. It's fine.
Oh, great.
The fourth Doctor sticks around the longest at this stage.
Right.
So I did forget to mention about the Dalek story, the 12-parter.
Oh, yeah.
That remains the longest single storyline of any season.
Wow.
So... Yeah.
And we missed all of it.
We missed all of it. We might go... We can go back and watch those 4 episodes at some point.
No, we should wait, because they'll restore it.
I hope so.
We can treat them as our own Christmas specials.
So eventually...
Oh, one other thing, too. The Doctor does not... Not only does he not like Dodo's dress, he doesn't like the way she talks. He says, I can't wait to teach you some real English instead of saying fab...
Oh, yeah, she says fab later too, doesn't she?
Yeah.
in the ship.
She also says okay, and he didn't seem to like that either.
That's when he pulled her up, though. Yeah. She says okay, and then he's like, that's not English.
It most definitely is English.
Maybe in the 60s, you wouldn't say okay.
It was a faux pas. You'd say
yes. Yeah, so they're in the prison cell, and the doctor's like, well, I can try and sort out a cure of some kind while Stephen goes to the trial. And I thought that was an interesting choice to get Stephen to go to the courtroom.
Because he's had experience
in
the courts.
Yeah.
Saw that in season one.
So Stephen explains to them, they have a bit of a back and forth, but Stephen basically says, if the doctor can find a cure, like, is that not proof that we are, you know, not terrible people?
Yeah. We're not spies from the planet you're traveling to.
Yeah. So the doctor figures out a vaccination. And I thought a cool thing he came up with was a vaccination with just a patch.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, because that's a thing that they try and do now.
Yeah, that's pretty weird, isn't
so, it? So, you know, that? Like kids these days, they're trying to replace, like, getting vaccinations with needles with vaccinations with a patch. So then, you know, you don't have to worry about trying to stab a kid's arm with a needle.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that it's, like, in this story. I'm like, whoa.
That's pretty cool. But he is the doctor. Maybe he saw it in the future and then traveled back. But you're talking about from an actual
writer. From, like, a real-life perspective.
It's pretty cool that they had that idea.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, see you later. Oh, they do mention the statue, though. So before they leave, while they're kind of exploring around, Dodo's like, hey, what's that? Check out that statue. And they're like, we're building the statue using very old methods. And it should finish in 700 years just as we arrive at this new planet. Bearing in mind, all these guardians that are here now, they're not going to survive to that.
Yeah.
So these people, they live normal lives while the majority of the population is, like, frozen and shrunken down.
Yes.
So if anything, that guy that got sentenced at the start, like, I would want to be him.
Yeah. He's going to be alive.
And they'll all be dead.
And he'll be on a new planet, not having to do any of the work.
I mean, all his friends, it looked like he had friends.
Yeah.
And they'll be dead.
Including the commander's daughter. And she says, and it's a very, it's a huge statue.
Oh, yeah.
That will be made of a human being.
Of a human being. Really human remember being. That, people listen to this.
A person.
And I thought that the story was ending. I was like, oh, is this only two episodes?
Yeah.
Because they all left and they flew away in the TARDIS. And then they immediately land. And they pretty quickly realize, oh, we're back on this ship.
Yep.
But the place is a bit not as tidy, I would say. And they look up the statue. And it's not a statue of a human being. It's a statue of a...
monoid.
Of a monoid. And they're like, something must have happened. And that's just the end of the second episode.
Which was very cool. Very cool way to cut the story in half with, you know, two episodes, these people in charge, two episodes, the other people in charge.
Now, I do think they deliberately mentioned a few times in the previous episode, this statue is going to take us 700 years.
Yes.
So that when they do rock up and the statue is finished,
complete with a monoid head,
you go, oh, 700 years later.
Yeah.
So...
just in time.
Just in time to arrive at Refusus?
Yes.
So, and they're worried about the Refusians and, like, what they'll think of them arriving. That's what they were worried about. They have some different worries now. So we arrive, and it looks like the monoids have had some kind of revolution over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are in charge of the ship.
Humans and the ship.
And the humans are now slaves for the monoids. Hence, seeing the bowl of water turn to potatoes. Or a bowl of chicken wings. So,
yes.
The doctor deduces that 700 years have passed. They're close to Refusus. The doctor discovers that the reason there are no humans around is because it is now piloted by an automatic guiding device. So they did talk about that. Because I guess the monoids don't really fly that much. So, they figured out how to get the ship to fly automatically.
I just remembered something. When they're first getting sick and the doctor has to come up with a vaccine,
yeah,
Stephen also gets sick with the fever. and it looks very bad for him.
Oh, yes. I always forget about Steven.
Explain. He's a human from the same times as...
He's been sick a few times, though.
So he just is a weak human being. I mean, you know what I mean.
I don't understand why he was sick. That is true.
That's my plot hole.
He's probably had vaccinations.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He wasn't from the past. He was from a future.
Unless he's not into vaccinations.
Oh, so what you're saying is this storyline is one elaborate anti-vax message.
No, as in like it's an anti-anti-vax message.
So a pro-vax.
So it's like... If you're an anti-vaxxer, you're going to end up like Steven.
Yeah.
Weak.
We're going to have monoids take over the Earth. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get stabbed.
Get stabbed. It's good for the human race.
Get stabbed, get saved. It works everywhere except prison in New York.
You want to make that the title?
That's a good title.
I put, yay, they're prisoners again. The human slaves, they remember... Hearing about stories about a doctor who came to the ship ages ago.
Yeah.
And so when they see them, they're like, oh, what?
The legends are true.
Yeah, what are you guys doing here? So they have a conversation about, you know, why don't they just revolt against the monoids? But the monoids have the weapons and they're very, like, they keep them on them. So they don't ever really let go of their weaponry. The monoids are eventually just like, hey, the doctor,
yep.
You and Dodo, you're going to go down. Oh no, it's just the doctor, isn't it?
I thought he went with her.
Oh no, it says the doctor, Dodo 2, because the monoids are all just named numerically.
In terms of importance, I guess, or who's more in charge?
One is in charge and two is like second in command. The doctor, Dodo 2, and a human called Yendom. They go in one of the capsules down to the planet.
Yep.
At first, they think there's no one there. And so, Two, like, sends a message back and he's like, this place, this is our place. Like, yep. There's no one here. So, but then the doctor's like, actually, look at that castle. So, which I found hilarious. Just like, the monoids are like, yes, this is going to be like, this is going to be our planet. And the doctor's like, well, actually, there's no one here.
Yeah.
And then they work out, they go into this castle and some things move around. So my favorite being some like flowers fall on the ground.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah. And then the flowers get picked up and put into a vase, but you could see all the strings hanging off the flowers.
Yeah.
I thought it was obviously like fishing line to try and hide it as best you could, but you could clearly see that it was someone just pulling
wires.
And so this being talks to them, one of the Refusions, and it turns out that they are a species that they have no, like, visible form now. So they can move around and talk and whatever, but they can't see each other, and they cannot be observed.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's very interesting. Was it one of them that blows up this capsule?
Blows up the capsule.
You know,
the ship.
The ship.
Yes, it is. It's one of the invisible boys.
Yeah. So that's to stop them from... Because they're a bit wary, like, a bit, like, unsure about these monoids.
Yeah.
So they don't want them to, like, come down. They wanted the humans to live there, but they had known that they were coming from all that time ago.
Yeah.
But now they've learned that there's been, like, a revolution on board, so they're a bit like, oh, what's happening?
Monoid 2... is going back to the ship to say to Monoid 1, you need to know about these invisible peoples.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
That's Monoid 1, Monoid 2, yes. And one of them's got a 63 on their lapel, like on their...
Yeah, they have weird things on
them. And I was like, are you very low down the ladder then? Because all of them were single digits, and so there was one with two digits on his...
63. But before Monoid 2... Now, with your Hungry Jack's Happy Meal, comes Monoid Toy. Monoid 2 gets back into the capsule to communicate with the ship to say, careful, there's these invisible boys all around.
Yeah.
But he gets exploded before he gets to deliver that message.
Death, huh?
There's a lot of it in this story.
The Doc doesn't seem to worry about it, does he?
No, he's seen civilizations burn to the ground, and he laughed manically, remember?
Left a whole heap of people to die in the massacre episode, so...
That's true. That's what the massacre is. It's not the historical event, it's the Doctor's decision to let them die.
Yes.
That's the massacre. It's on his head.
During this whole time, Stephen was left up in the ship.
Because they wanted him as collateral.
Yes. And so he's trying to work out how he can help the humans take over the ship again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening in episode 3. At the end of episode 2, 2 and 1 are talking about the planet, and then the ship blows up. And then 1 decides, well, we're going to go down there anyway.
We have to find out what happened.
And we have the numbers, because you have all these frozen tiny people.
And also at least 63 monoids.
Yes. I thought it was quite interesting. Now, obviously, all those monoids that have been shrunken and stored, they would not be aware that this revolution has occurred.
That's a good point.
So if they did blow them back up to full size...
Like a balloon.
Would they then be like... Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Would they then be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like,
why are you attacking our masters?
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was interesting. So we come to the last episode.
The bomb.
One of the humans is working for the monoids.
Yes.
That is Maharis?
I think so.
Yes, it is. So the monoids all talk about the fact that they're going to go down to this planet. They're going to blow up the Ark with the humans on it.
Yep.
So they'll just be the only species down there. And Maharis starts to con onto the fact that he's serving these people that aren't going to probably look after him.
Yep.
But while this is happening, Stephen comes up with a plan. He's like, we've got to get out of this kitchen.
Yep.
So Maharis comes in, Stephen distracts him, one of the other humans goes outside and hides, and then lets everybody out. And the monoids, they're going to head down to the planet.
Right.
As Stephen and the prisoners are making their way to the control room, one decides that it's time for them to leave the ship. So they set off the bomb.
Yes.
Like, they set off the timer for the bomb.
Yeah.
They say 12 hours from now. Because they leave themselves out the window, because I think what they say is, if they go down, then they have to escape. They want time to be able to come back to the Ark if they have to.
Right.
So they go down. So now there's kind of like two things happening. So Stephen and the humans on the ship, they have to find this bomb.
Yes.
And the monoids and the Doctor and his group of people down there, they need to, you know, get away.
And let the people on the ship know where the bomb is.
They have to figure out where the bomb is too, though. They don't know that yet.
Oh, sorry, that comes later. Yes. And let's not spoil it, because let's see if you, as the listener, can guess where the bomb is.
Yeah.
Have a think about what we've been saying.
About a certain places that it could go that are being built over 700 years.
Oh.
When the Doctor... when they discover 2's destroyed launcher, so one is like, one lands on the planet.
Yep.
And he sees the blown up spaceship of where 2 landed, and he's like, we got to figure out who did this.
Yep.
The Doctor is trying to come up with his plan. So he's like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sort out the ones that are down here, and we need to get one of the refusions is going to go up to the ship. And the refusion's like, oh, is that what we're doing? And the Doctor's like, please? And the refusion's like, sure. So the refusion gets into the
capsule thingy, yep.
And goes up to the others. And when he lands, the door opens and they're like, this is empty. And then the refusion just starts laughing.
I was like,
if a capsule landed on a ship and the door opened and I could just hear like I couldn't see anything, but I could just hear laughter.
Yeah.
That would be freaky.
Yes. Not the wisest way to introduce yourself.
No. One finds the Doctor, and he's like, where are the refusions? And the Doctor's like, I haven't seen any. I found that kind of cool.
But on Tish.
And there was a bit of back and forth about that, and he looked over at like the chair, and he's like, I don't know. I haven't seen them at all. I haven't had any visual evidence. Like, he's like he makes a few jokes about it. Now, 4 turns up, and he's like, this is a mess. What are we even doing? And so he's like, we're going to go back to the ship. And one's like, you're not going back to the ship. And Thor's like, I am going back to the ship. And then they start shooting each other.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of like a monoid civil war that breaks
out. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So they start shooting at each other. Well, in their conversation, one does reveal the location of the bomb.
Yes.
And so the Doctor and Dodo sneak past all the shooting. And they get in one of the ships. And they send a message to Steven to say the bomb is inside the statue.
Specifically, I think, in the mono head.
In the head.
Which I thought was a very cool twist.
Yes.
And really well set up the way they had the statue being built, blah, blah, blah.
Something I forgot. The Doctor and Dodo got rescued by other humans that had come down on one of the ships.
Right.
So they fly back and tell Steven where the bomb is. I thought it was quite funny when the Doctor and Dodo are walking towards the ship. There's a monoid there, like the last one that's left standing, basically.
Yeah.
And he's holding a gun and he sees him and he just like throws the gun away and he's just like,
I'm done for.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's just like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like everyone, all the monoids here are dead. So I could shoot you two, but what does that even, mean anything now?
Yeah.
So Steven and Vanessa are at a loss in how to move the statue because of its sheer size and weight. Because they say they can't break into the head to get the bomb.
Yeah.
So they have to get the whole statue off the ship somehow.
Because 700 years ago, we're specifically told this is being made with a brand new material that you cannot get into or break.
But you have to build with it.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like it's bricks. Like, it's molded.
Yeah.
So what did they use to cut that into shape?
Just use that.
They lost it over the 700 years. They asked the BBC to look after it for them. But the refusion that's on the ship with them is like, this is easy. And he just picks it up and puts it in like the jettison room or whatever.
Yeah.
However they can, the airlock that's going to send it out into space. And then they just send it into space and it blows up. How good's that?
What? Oh, yeah. Just
the refusion just time. Picks it up and puts it in the thing.
So they're like these insanely strong, invisible people.
Yeah, live on their planet.
Nothing can go wrong.
Now, the refusions are like, you can live on our planet, but you've got to like mend this relationship between you and the monoids. And yeah. The humans are like, okay.
Because don't forget, there's still millions of each in these cabinets of civilization. Yeah,
can you imagine if you were like, we'll just leave these ones frozen on the ship? So, again, you have the same... You have nearly a repeat of the end of episode 2. The Doctor, Steven and Dodo are carted along in, like, a golf cart, basically. And then they get in their ship. They say goodbye to everyone and they take off. And then the Doctor turns invisible.
Yeah. He flashes a little bit and they're like, we can't see you. And he's like, don't be daft. Don't talk nonsense. And then he's gone.
Do you want to know...
Oh, can I just quickly say, at the end of this final episode, the Doctor says, you know, civilizations and people coming together is all about trust. And you know, we need to hold on to the hope that there's a good future. Okay, bye. And then just cuts off. It's like so sudden. He makes this big grand speech and then he doesn't even wait for a response.
That was just blowing my heart and I'll be like, I can't remember the rest of the lines. I'm out of here.
It's so good. Okay, bye.
So they leave. Now, the episode they go to is the Celestial Toymaker.
Yes.
Who is an interesting character.
That we see more often?
That we don't see again.
Okay.
I think he turns up in the audio plays, and I think he might even be in next year's 60th anniversary special.
Oh, wow.
But I think the problem is...
I'm assuming the guy who plays him is no longer with us.
Oh, yeah, no, he's long gone.
Oh, that's not the problem.
That's not the problem. But the problem for us is the next story. 4 episodes, how many are surviving?
0.
1.
Well done, BBC. 25% retain rate.
So, if we go off the ones that we can watch, so I might recap the ones that we have left.
Okay.
So, we can't see the Celestial Toymaker, because it doesn't exist.
Of course.
We can see the Gunfighters, that's the next one available. And then we miss the Savages, because that's completely missing. And then we'll see the War Machines, We miss the smugglers because it's completely missing, and then we'll see the 10th planet. So we have 1, 2, 3 William Hartnell stories left that we can watch.
Wow. So every second storyline is basically missing.
Correct. In fact, that's almost exactly correct. After William Hartnell becomes Patrick Troughton, there is...
Spoilers?
So season 4...
Yeah. Isn't that a really bad season?
Completely. Like, it's incomplete. In fact, we can't see... We can probably see one story from episode... From season 4.
Of Flute Boy.
And 2 from season 5. And then season 6 is pretty good. And then after season 6, there's nothing missing.
Okay. So we're getting to the real bad section of missing
stories. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. But then all of a sudden, it's not there.
We're going to have to do a lot of backtracking when they eventually remake or reanimate or whatever it is that they do.
Some trivia.
Go.
The monoids... Oh, here you go. This is the eye-mouth thing. So the monoids were played by actors, each holding a ping pong ball in his mouth to represent the alien's single eye. The upper portion of the actor's face was hidden by a beetle's wig.
Right.
Their hair was yak hair.
Wow.
So they had yak hair and they had a ping pong ball in their mouth.
Yeah.
How good's that?
And it was really well acted. The way the eye would move around was good.
Yes. Peter Purves thought the monoids looked ludicrous and couldn't take them seriously as a monster. Director Michael Emerson not only didn't think much of the story, but also was informed that his contract as a BBC director would not be renewed immediately prior to recording the final episode. Emerson wasn't told this decision face-to-face, but was simply handed a note before entering the studio gallery at the start of recording.
Wow.
That's a bit like reading a script and working out that your character is leaving.
Yeah. Quality stuff in the 60s.
Yes. When questioned by the humans as to things he has seen in his travel, the Doctor mentions events from the Romans and the Mythmakers and mentions Daleks. All of this took place in what these humans called the first segment of time.
Right.
So that's...
Way back.
Nothing else I can tell you. It's okay. All future stuff.
Yep.
All right, you got to rate it. Out of 13. Now, bearing in mind, in about a month, our out of 13 system is going to become out of 14.
It's going to be defunct.
Yeah.
Not great.
Or maybe not. Because there's rumours, Alex.
Oh, no.
There's rumours of Jodie Whittaker regenerating into a 60th anniversary Doctor for the 60th anniversary specials, who will then properly regenerate into the new Doctor after that.
So it'll be a different actor for specifically
They think those? It's going to repeat. They think they're going to go back to David Tennant for 3 episodes.
Oh, interesting.
Because... there was shots of him on set for the 60th anniversary. So people were like, ooh, is it just going to be him? And what I think is going to happen is they're just going to do like a bit of a celebration. I think they'll have a few old doctors like pop in.
Yeah.
David Tennant's pretty good though. He's probably one of the best.
I assume so.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Out of 13 though?
I will give it... I was thinking 9 or 10. So I will rate it a 9 out of 13.
9 out of 13. Christopher Eccleston out of 13.
Yeah. I thought it was very good, but I know that there's stuff coming up that will be great. Maybe not straight away, but I don't want to be giving things 10, 11, 12, 13 for no reason.
So I'm going to go with 11.
Wow.
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed this.
I thought it was good too.
11 out of 13.
Very good. Is that one of your highest so far?
I think so.
What did you rate The Chase and all the classics that you love?
I think I might have done 11s before, but I don't think I've gone above 11. So the next story that we will watch will be The Gunfighters. Yeah, The Gunfighters and then The War Machine. So The Gunfighters is 4 episodes.
Okay.
So we'll watch them all.
Yep.
And then we'll record tomorrow. I mean, whenever.
I mean, when you listen to it, it'll be in a week's time. Anyway.
Thanks for listening.
Like and subscribe and do all those things at podcasts that you don't really care about tell you to do.
Yes. And go eat some chicken wings made out of liquid.
So they're old to the point where they've liquefied.
Maybe that's what happened to these ones. They put the tablet in, it reverses time.
That's what made Steven sick.
Probably. fake chicken.
Get stabbed, get saved.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
How are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse 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 the polarity.